Amen. What a blessed time of praising the Lord together. Nothing I desire compares to you, Lord Jesus. Let's open with a word of prayer one more time. Father, I just pray that your presence, Lord, would just fill our midst. Father, as we open your word and we look deep into it, I pray, Lord, that out of your love and your mercy and your grace to us, that you would instruct us and teach us and challenge us and call us to a closer, deeper, fuller walk with Christ. Lord, help us this morning that we might love you more at the end of today than we did at the end of yesterday, and each succeeding day, Lord, that you might, you don't grow bigger, but we, our understanding and our vision of you might grow bigger. Father, that we might love our Lord who bought us and redeemed us with his own blood. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start this morning in Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read just a couple verses. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. And we talked a little bit about this similar kind of subject this morning in Sunday school. Seems like many times the guys like to step on what I'm about to preach on, but I think that's many times the Lord moving and working to prepare our hearts to begin thinking and to begin processing. And we're going to begin in Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. And he says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem or think of other people." He says, esteem others better than themselves. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." This passage has been running through my mind, especially in relation to the boat accident that happened on Monday. And I don't mean to unduly lift up or exalt human beings by any means. But when you hear the testimony of the selflessness with which our brother and sister reached out to those around them, even in their own time of hurting and need, it sounds like the stories that we read in all the old missionary stories and all the old histories of the men of God and the women of God down through the ages. That kind of selfless giving. Even when I don't know what's going on with all of the things that I care about, all of the things that I love, yet looking around and seeing others in need and caring. And I'd like to think that any one of us in that situation would have had the grace to do that. Right? We like to think that. And I pray that that would be true. But what about when it's not a crisis? Are we loving people well that way in our day-to-day lives? Are we loving our brothers and sisters in the church well that way in our day-to-day lives? Yes, I have a lot of crazy stuff going on in my life, but what about my brother or sister? Are they okay? Are they struggling? Are they hurting? So many times it's so easy to get so self-centered and so self-focused. Life can be rough. Sometimes we're carrying a lot of difficulties and a lot of burdens and a lot of worries and troubles and frets and cares. And it's hard to say, well, what about my brother or my sister? It feels like, well, once I get my stuff taken care of, then I'll check and make sure they're okay and I'll help them out if they need anything. What about right now? What if they're struggling and floundering right now? If our brother Ezra had taken the time to make sure that every member of his family had safely made it onto shore before he saw that there were other people who were struggling and having a hard time and went to help them, would there be more than five fatalities? There might be. I don't know. Sometimes if I wait and I say, well, I'm gonna take care of my things first and then I'll help out my brother or my sister, they might not need that same kind of help later on, but they do need it right now. He says in verse 4, he says, look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others. Don't be so consumed looking at and worrying about and thinking about my own things that I'm not even paying attention to those around me. I'm not even paying attention to the difficulties and the hardships. Sometimes our brothers and sisters are going through things that are painful and gut-wrenching, and they're not necessarily going to tell us. They're not going to necessarily say it unless they know we're looking to see, are you okay? Are you doing all right? If I'm only looking at my things and I'm only worried about my things, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss that opportunity to bless another. And I may cause them to suffer more by my neglect than they ought to have had to suffer. God is good to them too, and He's able to provide for them too. But yet, He's called us as His body to be members one of another, to care for one another, to check in on each other. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Yes, my problems and these things I'm dealing with, they're overwhelming me. But stop for a second. Is there anything that my brother or sister is struggling with that they're having a hard time trying to overcome? Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also, or thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So he's calling for the believers here to watch out for each other. Hey, if you see a brother struggling, or you see a sister struggling, in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, realizing you have weaknesses too. And yes, they may be struggling because of their own weakness, because of their own failings. If they may be even overtaken in a fault that they themselves did, it may not just be something that's happening to them, but can we, in a spirit of meekness, considering ourselves and realizing, hey, I'm weak too, being careful, but coming and restoring such a one. He goes on, he says, verse 2, he says, bear ye one another's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens. I've got so many of my own burdens, yes, but bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? To love one another as I have loved you. To love one another as I have loved you. So fulfill the law of Christ by bearing one another's burdens. Verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. Wait, I thought we were supposed to bear one another's burdens. Yes, this is to me. I am to bear my burden. I am also to look around and see if there's a brother or a sister whose burden I can help to bear. I shouldn't be sitting here going, hey guys, I've got a lot of burdens here. Anybody want to come and help me bear my burden? No, that's my responsibility. I am to help bear their burdens. I'm to bear my burdens. If the body is healthy, they're going to be looking to see if there's any burdens they can help to bear. He says, if you think you're stronger than you are, you're not helping yourself. You're deceiving yourself. It won't help you stay vigilant. But helping one another and making sure you're taking care of your own business as well. There is nothing that should be more of a source of joy to draw from than knowing that all things are right between me and my Father. He says here, let every man prove his own work. That means test it, look at it, be honest with it, and then he'll have rejoicing. Not looking around saying, oh, look, I helped that brother. Isn't that so good? That shouldn't be the source of my rejoicing. The source of my rejoicing should be, God, I don't know of anything between you and me. And that's happy. That's blessed. But bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. How easy it is for us to get focused so much on the things we're struggling with, the burdens we're carrying. So many times, if not every single time. If you will stop, put those things in the hands of God, and love on a brother or sister who's going through a hard time, guess what? Those situations, God has ways of providing for them. Sometimes He miraculously provides for those needs in a way you couldn't have even comprehended or fathomed. Sometimes, in helping another brother or sister through a difficult time, you realize, you know what? I really don't have it as bad as I thought. But when I set aside my worries and my frets and my struggles and I say, all right, maybe there's nothing I can do on that at this moment. I could continue to sit here and be all tied up in knots. But let me look around. Is there somewhere else I could serve? Is there someone else who's struggling? You'll be amazed how many times, if not every time, God moves miraculously to clear up your troubles that were so overwhelming, so dragging you down, so just seemed like, oh man, yeah, someday when I get past this, then I'll help everybody. I'd be glad to, I'd love to, but I can't right now. And if I stop and I say, okay, look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others, I begin to reach out and to serve and to bless and to help. God has a boundless supply to fulfill all of our needs, physical, spiritual, all of it. How many times have you set aside your own struggling and your own difficulty? You've begun to serve someone else. By the time you're done, you're so rejuvenated, you forget that you even had a struggle or a trouble. God has designed it that way. He's designed His body and His church and called us. Don't focus all your attention on yourself. Don't focus on me. It's so easy. It's so easy to look at me and mine and I. And we make excuses for ourselves. We say, well, you know, I got to take care of my own business before I can take care of somebody else's. And there's some truth in that, because we're supposed to bear our burdens too. But if you spend all your time doing that to the point that you don't do the other, especially in those moments when there's nothing you can do about it anyway, right? You're just carrying that burden, just lugging it along, just worrying and fretting and troubled. But there's not necessarily anything you can do about it at that moment. There's been times in our married life when for periods of time I was without work for a period of time. And it was so easy to allow it to consume you. The worry and the stress and the how are we going to make these bills and what am I going to do and how am I going to do this and that. I found myself, it was possible to be consumed all day, every day, trying to figure this out when there was literally nothing left that I could do anyway. I'd already applied everywhere that was available. The economy was just not working. The economy was in the tank. There was nothing else to do. But I could spend all day, every day fretting, scouring the internet, searching through the newspaper, just looking. Well, maybe there's something else. And I just consumed by the fret and the worry and this burden that I'm bearing and carrying when there's nothing I can do about it at the moment. Anyways, I found out about a brother who needed some help. I knew he couldn't pay me. Got up and went over and helped him anyway. Poured into him. Within days, God had provided out of nothing, out of an empty, clear blue sky, He had provided all that we needed. I had a good paying job again, and we were good, we were okay, we were settled, but it was partly through that service, because that brother talked to somebody else, and somebody else talked to somebody else, and they, oh, hey, I know so-and-so that's hiring. That wasn't advertised. I would have never found out about that. That wasn't an option. It wasn't on the horizon. There was no possible way I could have found out about that and gotten that position if not that God moved. God wouldn't have moved in that way, and we couldn't have moved in that way if I hadn't been there at that moment serving and blessing someone else. Even when I didn't know how I was going to put enough gas in the truck to get to church on Sunday. Even though we had literally a 5-pound roll of bologna, a dozen of eggs, and a little bag of potatoes at the house, and that was it. But there was nothing I could do about that at the moment. I'd already knocked on every door. What do? Look not every man on his own things only, but also on the things of others. We, as the body of Christ, are supposed to be caring for and loving on one another selflessly, as Christ did. As Christ did. In Philippians chapter 2, where we started, we didn't look on down yet at that point. We stopped at the end of verse 4. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. But verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He is our example. What was His mind? How did Christ act? Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What did our example do? God's not calling us or asking us to do something that He Himself hasn't patterned already for us. He's patterned it already for us. Be like Christ. He says, I'm not just telling you, don't worry about your troubles, just watch out for everybody else. I'm also telling you, here's your example. That's what Christ did. He laid aside all of his own glory. He laid aside all of his own pursuits. He laid aside all of his own things. And he humbled himself. And he came down. How humbling would that be? I can't even imagine for the God of all creation to step into human flesh. That's a farther step down than for you or I to step into the body of a cockroach by a long shot. And then, even as a human being, that wasn't enough. He humbled himself. Even already he humbled himself to come as a human being, but after it says he came and was found in fashion as a man, what did he do? He humbled himself even more. And he became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Did that benefit him? No. That wasn't who it was for. It was for us. It was for us. And it was in obedience to his Father. And now, as our perfect example, he calls us to do the same thing. For the benefit and the help and the blessing of our brothers and sisters, to humble ourselves and to serve them for the glory of our Father. What did we say about what happens when I set aside my own worries and my own desires and my own troubles and I serve someone else? God has a way of providing. Look at the following verses. After it talks about how Jesus humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Wherefore, because of this, because of your example, because of what's already been shown forth clearly and plainly, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you. It's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Where do I find the strength to do these things, Christ? Where do I find the strength to lay aside my own burdens that seem so all-consuming and care about someone else and love on them and look out for them and bear their burdens? It's God that worketh in you, both to will, that means to give you the desire, and to do of his good pleasure. Brothers and sisters, we're not being called to do something that God hasn't already done himself. He's not asking us to go blaze a new trail. He's asking us to follow in his steps. Christ came as a servant, though he was Lord and master of all. If anyone had a right to focus on his own things, how important are Christ's things? That's the whole entire universe. But he set aside all his glory. He set aside all his own things, and he came. And even in the garden, we see his flesh struggling against the pain and the suffering and the fellowship that was about to be lost between him and his Father, and the sin, the hateful, dreaded, becoming sin for us. He who had never known sin. And he's struggling with it. Yet his reply is, yet not my will, but yours be done. He surrendered himself. He gave up everything for us. And in obedience to his Father, He now calls us to do the same. To lay aside our personal difficulties. To lay aside our burdens that we carry. Guess where we're supposed to put those anyway? Cast them on Him. Cast your cares on Him, for He careth for you. If I cast those on Him, what am I carrying? I'm going to go carry my brother or my sister's burden. If I stay focused on mine, guess what? I'm carrying that burden. I'm never going to not be carrying that burden. There is no way out from under that burden except to give it to God and to look around and serve and bless others. And guess what? God takes care of that burden. He's more than capable. He's more than capable. There's no shortage to His power. There's no shortage to His provision. There's no shortage to His grace and His strength. But He gives that when we obey. He gives that when we surrender. He gives that when we follow. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 through 13. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 through 13, he says, "Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." Right? When you're going through those difficulties and those hardships and those burdens are weighing you down, "No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby." Verse 12, Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Yeah, no suffering seems pleasant right now, but it's going to work a good thing in your life if you're exercised thereby. If you respond properly to it. So, instead of focusing on that, what are we supposed to focus on? Lifting up the hands that hang down. Those that are tired, those that are struggling, those that are having a hard time, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Don't allow, in verse 13, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Again, we see in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 through 16, he says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Again, it's the same pattern. He did it. He showed us the example. Now He's calling us to obey and to be followers of Him, be imitators of Him. So, he says, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Does this passage only speak to those who have this world's goods? No. Because I might not have all the things that I wish I had for me of this world's goods, but almost certainly I have something that I could bless a brother or sister with in their time of need. He says, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I want to look at one more place in Romans chapter 15 as we look at the example of Christ. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 through 3, he says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification," that means to building him up, For even Christ pleased not himself. Even our Master, even the God of heaven and earth, pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Christ took our condemnation. Christ took our reproach. There's going to be places and areas in my life where I fall into both these categories, right? We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Am I the strong or am I the weak? Probably yes. In some areas of your life, you're going to be struggling, and you're going to be weak in that area. But in another area where a brother and sister is struggling, you can step in and be that strong supporting hand and trust and believe and know that God will step in and help where you're weak. And not please ourselves, he says. Not just not please ourselves also, but forget about yourself. Not please yourself. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good. For his good to edification. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word that's so clear. And Lord, I thank you for Jesus Christ who modeled perfectly exactly what you are calling us to do. He made himself. He didn't just allow himself to be made of no reputation, but he made himself of no reputation and served and came and gave it all and humbled himself. And now, Lord, I pray that you would remind us and call us as we walk through our days, through our lives, when we feel overwhelmed and when we feel like we're drowning, when it's difficult to look not only on our own things, but also on the things of others, to reach out a helping hand, to take our focus off of us and focus it first and foremost on you and secondly on our brothers and sisters around us, that we might love them as you loved us for their good to edification, that Jesus Christ might receive all the glory and honor. In your precious name we pray. Amen.